Today, we're going to look at Thanksgiving. We just had a wonderful day a couple days ago. Get together with family, maybe watch some football, things like that. God wants us to be thankful all the time. I'm glad that a separate day is set aside for us to maybe give thanks. It appears to me, in my jaded opinion, a lot of times holidays, they take on a character and a monster all of themselves. And what the world sometimes sees of a holiday is not necessarily what it's intended to be. And there's no doubt some of these activities here is associated with Thanksgiving. You know, people travel and get a chance to see loved ones and family and friends, and supposedly right around Thanksgiving is one of the biggest travel days of the year. There's no doubt, you know, you think of Thanksgiving, you think of turkey dinner and dressing, and, you know, I think my favorite part of Thanksgiving is the piece of pumpkin pie about 2 in the morning, you know, with whipped cream piled so high that, you know, enough to choke a horse. But that's my favorite part of the whole turkey dinner. But, you know, you think of the pilgrims. I remember, I don't know how many of you did it, when you're in elementary school, you draw around your hand and then make the turkey out of it and, you know, cut out the feathers and all that stuff. And that's associated with Thanksgiving, you know, the pilgrims and the Mayflower and football. I mean, ever since I can remember, you've always had a big Thanksgiving Day game with the NFL and so forth. And that's something that you associate with Thanksgiving. And then, of course, it's even, you know, used to be Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. It's even creeping into Thanksgiving and the day before even. But, you know, the Black Friday shopping and people going crazy. I mean crazy, just to get a deal on something. I saw something, we were talking about it in class this morning. This is not an indictment, but I thought it was interesting about some of the same people that will leave the house in the middle of the night to line up at 5 o'clock when a store opens to get a sale. Those some of those same people getting up for Bible classes too early, and I thought that was a little hit the nail right on the head. But you know, Thanksgiving is much more than the commercial things that we associate with it. God wants us to be thankful, and when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, and when every Sunday, every Lord's Day, we have the Lord's Supper, and Jesus says, whenever you do this, do it in remembrance of me. The sacrifice that he gave for our sins, the perfect sacrifice that he gave to forgive us of sins that we've committed. And we're to do that regularly. And there shouldn't be a day go by that we don't consider God and the blessings that we have. I'd like for us to look at a couple of scriptures. This was the scripture reading this morning. It is Psalms 100. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. And then a couple of chapters back in Psalms, Psalms 95, verses 1 through 7, it reads, O come, let us sing to the Lord. And as I'm reading these, I keep thinking, every Sunday we do these things as a body. Not only individually, but every Sunday when we come together acknowledging and praising God and singing songs of praise together as a body, how I hope God is pleased, because we're singing those praises hopefully with a pure heart. And we're here in the right frame of mind worshiping, as the Apostle John said, or Jesus said in John, to worship in spirit and in truth. But it says, oh come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God, and the great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are His also. The sea is His, for He made it. And His hands transformed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. That is a good reminder to me that God created everything. He created us. We are His, and He wants to be our God. Those of you that know me, I'm a simple person. You can look at me. I'm simple. I try to boil things down to the simplest ways for me to be able to understand stuff. And when I look at the blessings that we have from God, I break them down. We've got physical blessings and we've got spiritual blessings. I'd like for us to look at some of the physical blessings, just some. There's not enough space to list all the physical blessings we have. We just saw some scriptures that talked about God creating the world. The depths of the sea are His. His hands formed the dry land. We are the sheep of His pasture. He's created this world. And for those of you that enjoy nature, it means a special, a lot more special things to you. When you see that beautiful sunrise or a sunset, or those of you that like to go in the mountains, or just the beauty of the desert, it's His, and He created. He's given us that. We're here but for a short time. But He's given us a wonderful, absolutely wonderful working world to live in this temporary time that we're on earth. He's given us that. He's given us life. He's formed us. He's given us the life that we have. And for whatever time He grants it. He's granted us a time to live and a place to die. And He's blessed us with so much more in between. Some people live a lot longer than others, but He's given us the life that we have. And every day is a blessing for us. Not only has He given us life, He's given us health during this life. Now, some of us run into some health issues. Some of us hit a snag with that health periodically. Some have been blessed with better health than others. Knock on wood, I'm so thankful. God has blessed me physically and has given me good health. We had a little bit of a scare this past week with Stacy. You know, we were planning on going out of town, just getting out of town maybe for a night or two. In fact, we were going to leave Thursday. We decided to do a staycation instead at Mountain View Hospital. The room service was great. They didn't have a pool though. But we did a little staycation. God's granted us our health. And not only the health, but when you think of the physical blessings, I'm thankful for the medical care that we have at our disposal. I know some of you have been nurses. I know Dana's a nurse. The medical care that we, living in the United States of America, is unbelievable. The fact that we get to live at this time, in this location, that's a blessing for us to have medical doctors with the experience that they've got, the medicines that they have, things like that. That's a blessing for us with our health. One of our physical blessings, our family. Love family. Kind of feeling that old story, The Last of the Mohicans. Used to have a whole bunch. We've kind of dwindled down. But the blessings of family, the joy. And God's given us that. God's given us that concept of family. Look at how many passages and comparisons there are in the Bible to family. And the strength that we derive from that. But you know what? One thing that, and the longer I live, the more I realize this. You can't always choose your family. I love my family. But I'll have to say, there have been a few people in my family that I love because they're my family, in spite of themselves. But then it gets friends. We have the physical blessing of friends. Friends you love, you choose to love. You don't love them because you're related to them. You love them because you've chosen to. And they've chosen to love you. And they know your faults. They know your shortcomings and love you in spite of it. And the longer I live, and especially with the dwindling family, friends, I'm realizing, are a bigger and bigger blessing. Because you can run out of family. But you know what? Depending on how you conduct yourselves, you can't run out of friends. Depending on how you live. He's given us emotions of joy and love. In Genesis says, let's make man in our image. That we can love and show emotion. How would we ever know joy if we don't have sorrow? And God's given us those things. I'd like to look at a few verses. Psalms 139, verse 14 says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works that my soul knows very well. That we are wonderfully made in the image of God. Matthew 6, starting in verse 25, Jesus is talking. He's talking to His disciples and He says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying... I need to read the for me again. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And here's the key. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Isn't that the truth? Why worry about things tomorrow? We got enough to worry about right now. We got enough to deal with right now than looking ahead to problems. In 1 Timothy, we had a sermon related recently around this idea. 1 Timothy 6, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. I'd like to ask Daryl to come up right now and lead us in a prayer thanking God for our physical blessings. You know, like the scripture earlier that said, the Gentiles seek these things. We're in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. We need food. You can't live long without it. We need to be clothed. We need shelter. But you know what? God has blessed us so much more beyond just the physical. And I'd like for us to look at some of the spiritual blessings that He's given us. And again, this is just a short list. He's given us the Bible, His Word. Every time that we come together, that we're able to open our Bibles and read Scripture, it amazes me that God, in His providence, has preserved the Bible all this time, where there is more remnants of original writings of the Bible than there are of original Shakespeare works. And God has preserved it this long for us to use and to be able to glean from it and to improve our lives spiritually for that. And He's provided us that. He's given us the church. Not this building, although He's given us that too. That falls under the physical. He's given us a nice building to worship in that we have found, that we can pay for. But this building is not the church. Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And He's given us that. And we were talking earlier about family. You can run out of family, but you can't run out of church members. you can have a less than desirable experience growing up with maybe a father that beat you, with maybe a mother that neglected you, with maybe, you know, less than desirable situations that you have to face. But God has given us the church for people to see that it doesn't always have to be that way. People treating you the way it should be done. And He's given us that. He understands we're not designed to go through this life, this spiritual journey, alone. We have brothers and sisters in the church to help us, to encourage us, and for us to do for them, to pick them up along the way. It's not a race. If I'm running along and stumble, there's Curtis right there to pick me up and to help me up, and vice versa. When one of you stumble, hopefully I just don't, oh, I can get ahead of them. No, stop and help them up, because we're going to the same place. And hopefully we will all make it together. He's given us a church. He's given us prayer. A few weeks ago we had a sermon on prayer. And to think that we are a moment away at any given moment from communicating with the Creator, our God. God's given us that. That we can go to God at any time, day or night, and communicate with our Heavenly Father through prayer. And above all, He's given us forgiveness and salvation. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But God has given us salvation, the opportunity to be saved. In 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 2, it says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That is a mouthful there. He has given us grace and peace in the knowledge of God. That word, the inspired word of God that He's preserved for us, we have that. We have the promises, the precious promises that He's given, and that we may become partakers of the divine nature. In 1 Chronicles 16, verse 34, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. God's mercy endured on me at a time in my life that I needed forgiveness, that I wasn't following God. He gave me that time. He overlooked that ignorance that I had in my life, the rebellious nature. And it's that way with every single one of us. There was a time when we were out of Christ, and He had mercy on us, and His mercy continues for us. And that is, you talk about a spiritual blessing, that He continues to bless us and forgive us when we repent of our sins. John 3:16-17, verses that you're very, very familiar with, verses that you may have heard for decades. Jesus is saying, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, which was Him, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That shows the spiritual blessings that God has given us, that he gave his own Son, a sacrifice we could not come up with. He gave his own Son, his only begotten Son, that through him the world may be saved. Never want to leave a gathering without offering the invitation to people. God has given us his word and the plan of salvation. There are some people in the audience, I don't know if you've obeyed the plan of salvation or not. I don't know if you've obeyed the gospel. It is a simple plan. God has given us that. He has given us that opportunity to be saved and not condemned for the sin in our life. The first thing one needs to do is to hear the word of God. One of the blessings is he's preserved the word of God in the Bible that you can read it yourself. Romans 10:17 states, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We can read it ourselves or be preached that word of God through somebody else. Once you've heard the word of God, you have the choice to either believe or not to believe. Jesus said in John 8:24, you must believe that I am he or you will die in your sins. That I am he who? That I am he, Jesus? That I am he, the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah. Because not everybody, a lot of people hear the word of God, but it doesn't take them to that step of belief. Once you do believe, you need to confess that belief. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32 that if you confess to men that you believe in him, he will confess you to his Father in heaven. And the next verse, verse 33, if you don't make that confession, he won't confess you to his Father. We have to repent of our sins. Just a mental belief in Jesus. Oh, I believe in Jesus. No, it's not good enough. You have to change your life. That belief should come and change your life. And you repent of sins. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, unless you repent of your sins, you will perish. And we have to be baptized. Mark 16:16, Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But we have to remain faithful. A lot of people see baptism as the end result. Once you're dunked, once you get wet, that's all you got to do. That's not it. That's the beginning. That's the beginning of our walk with Christ, because that's when we're added to the church, is at baptism. We have to remain faithful. Matthew 10:22, Jesus says, he that endures to the end shall be saved. And Revelation 2:10 says, remain faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of righteousness. Never want to end a gathering, a worship service, that the invitation is not offered. If you have not done these things, you need to. If you have not put your Lord on in baptism, if you've got sin in your life, you need to repent. If you need to ask for prayers of the congregation, that's one of the benefits, the spiritual benefits of being a Christian, is having brothers and sisters in the church to pray for you, to lift you up when you are down. If you would like to identify with us here at South Valley, if you've been looking for a church home and would like to make this your church home, you don't join us here. The Lord adds you to the church. But if you'd like to identify with working with us here at South Valley, we would love to have you. Whatever your need, if you would come forward, let your needs be known while Steve leads us in the invitation song. Let us stand.